And we begin. I apologize if you have difficulty hearing me.
Did you hear
me? As you can tell, I have a cold, but I feel fine. So just we'll try to accommodate each other. And if you can't hear, you let me know. Well, today I want to talk about the idea of testing God. Meaning, where is the line between the faith that we have and the way that we call upon God and say, God, if X, Y, Z, then I'll know that, you know, you're really God. You know, do you have the right to do that? And usually the answer is no, but sometimes the way we act kind of falls in the middle. And where does the way that events turn out, how is that supposed to affect the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if at all? And we're going to see this obviously in the very fascinating story of Eliezer's search for a wife for Yitzchak. We're going to see what he says, how he says it, and we're going to see actually what's most interesting is the way the Mefarshim try to deal with the problems, both the textual problems that arise and the theological problems that arise as well. You want to give the shiur?
No, it's fine. I feel bad for you.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Okay.
We highly recommend Rina if you need a machine.
Yes, I suggest it many times. We're going to start with Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. You know, if my voice is going to go, I might as well go learning Torah. So, okay. Va'Avraham, chapter 24, verse 1. Va'Avraham zaken ba'ba yamim. Vashem berach et Avraham bako. Avraham was old, zaken, ba'ba yamim, getting on in years. Vashem berach et Avraham bako. God blessed Avraham bako with everything. The question of bakol, what does bakol mean? So I'll just tell you, imshat, Rashi says, well, it's not really imshat, means he everything has, okay? He says, means ben, bakol, bet, and kaf lamed. Kaf and lamed are 50, and the gematria of ben, of a child, is 52, that if you have children, you have everything. But also means he had wealth, he had prominence, he had everything, he had success. Just so you know, I was listening to a shira. There's also a notion of the idea of bakol. Bakol has Kabbalistic interpretations as well. There's a whole idea of shlemut. I really can't tell you what it is. If you want to, Tammy has the Ramban for you. There's a long essay in Ramban about the meaning of bakol. And just to allude to you, right? We say in the benching, right, that Hashem has. What do we say? Bakol mikol kol. This notion of bakol is a very deep idea, esoteric idea that I can't explain to you. And if I could, I wouldn't. Okay. Vayomer Avram el Abdo, zekan beito, hamoshe b'chol asher lo, simah yadcha tachet yirechi. He said to his servant, the elder of his household, who has moshe b'chol asher lo, was in charge of the whole deal. Eliezer was his right-hand man. It wasn't like his butler. Don't think of Eliezer as his slave. Think of him more as his
chief of staff.
Consigliere. You know what I'm saying? His Tom. What's the guy's name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the Godfather? You all didn't want to be the Godfather? Okay, whatever. Vashbia. You never read The Godfather?
That's in a group of one.
What
no.
The?
I mean, I watched The Godfather, but.
Tom, the guy. Mashbiachav Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Elokei Haaretz. I make you take an oath in the name of God. Asher lo tikach isha libni bibenot haKenani asher anochi yosher bekirbo. Do not marry, take a wife for my son from the Canaanite women with whom I dwell. Pasuk dalid ki im el artzi veel moladetati telech. You will go to my land, to my birthplace. Velakachta isha libni leYitzchak. And from there you will take a woman for my son, for Yitzchak. Pasuk hey. Vayomer elav ha'eved ulai lo tovea isha lelechet acharai el aretz hazot. What if she doesn't want to come? Ha'ashev ha'shivit bincha al aretz asher yatzata misham. Should I take your son to that place? Meaning, if she doesn't want to come here, that woman, can I take Yitzchak there? Answer is, of course, vayomer elav Avraham, hishamer lecha pentashivit bin ishama. Don't do it. Right? You may not take my son there. Pasuk Zayin. And that is a very interesting pasuk. We have to see to what degree, how do you take this pasuk? Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, asher lakachani mibeit avi umeretz moladeti, the God of the heavens that took me from my household and from my birthplace, v'asher diber li, v'asher nishba li le'mor lezaracha etenet aretz hazot, that God who spoke to me and who promised me this land, Hu yishlach malacho lefanecha. He will send his angel before you. V'lakachta isha livni misham. And you should take a wife for my son there. So what did Avraham say? I mean, in another way of saying it, like Eliezer says, what if he won't come? What if it doesn't work? What if, can I take her back? What did Avraham say? In very nice, beautiful language.
No. Hashem will provide.
Hashem will provide. Right. So the obvious question being, when we say Hashem will provide, do we mean that figuratively? Or do we mean that literally? How will you support my son? I was at a funeral of a mentor of mine. I feel like I should mention, even though it's not relevant, it's an aside. When I was my father died when I was 10.
Nine.
And I had some anger issues. Well, one could say that. So my mother came to the very logical conclusion that I needed some male role models in my life. And I wasn't buying it. You know what I'm saying? So what she had, she had the brilliant idea, I was 10 at the time, that she set me up with a local guy who was a chazan who would teach me bar mitzvah lessons. Of course, why does a 10-year-old need bar mitzvah lessons? I don't really know, but I remember quite vividly sitting at this man's piano. His name was Dr. Jerry Epstein. I sat at his piano. We would do bar mitzvah lessons, and very quickly that sort of morphed into I became like a ben bayit in their house. Like, they took me on to family outings, and... I remember watching the Super Bowl with them. For you, the Super Bowl, you know what that is? Okay, just... and he left before my bar mitzvah, actually. He left when I was 12. So I was only there for like a year and a half. But they really took me in and accepted me and gave me something that I needed so badly at that time. So he passed away this week, and he lived in Israel. And we're at the Levaya. And he suffered very much at the end of his life. He had a very debilitating disease, he's on my mind. So after the Levaya, his son-in-law was talking to me, and he said that they were dating, and they were, you know, and his daughter, and he was walking with Dr. Epstein to shul, and Dr. Epstein looked at him and said, "So, tell me, how are you going to support my daughter?" You know, like that famous question that you're never supposed to ask your prospective son-in-law. So what's the answer to the question? God will provide.
Right.
When you hear God will provide as a prospective father-in-law, like, you know that joke, right? You know that joke, right? What's the joke? The joke is that, right? It's great. He thinks I'm God. Exactly right. So what did Abraham say? Eliezer says, what if it doesn't work? What if she doesn't want to go? So Abraham says, David should finale me and God will provide. It's okay. So that's the question. What did Eliezer think? Did Eliezer think, did Avraham really think God will provide? Or did Avraham think, you know, we make our hishtadlus, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu works in ways that make it'll happen. You understand, Michael? You don't understand?
I don't understand the difference between the two.
Really?
When I say God supernaturally or naturally?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Nowhere.
What?
He's still sending him. He still has to go.
He's still doing his hishtadlus.
She's not going to appear out of nowhere.
Okay, very good. To what degree does he have to make his hishtadlus?
Right, well, that's how, the balance. That's what we have to find out.
That's exactly the question. How much does he have to look? Does he have to go and say, well, God will provide. So he goes there and he says, here I am. I wonder if she'll show up today.
That's pretty much what happened.
Right? Or, very good.
And he makes a... Yes,
we're exactly what we're talking about. Or does he have to like go and search and find the family and seek them out? Right, go to Ray, exactly. You know, does he have to put up? Saw you at Sinai and set up with the shadchan, and it, you know, does he have to really make his ishtadlus?
Get the resume.
And then, right, of course, you know
the
what
bank
I'm saying.
Account.
And the interview, the bank account, we'll get to also. And that appears here too. When we say the Abishtub will provide, does it mean I'm going to sit in kolel and, you know, hopefully my wife will support me and the government will provide me a stipend? Or the Abishtub providing. Or the Abishtub will provide, I will work hard, I will do my best, I will support my family, but in the end, it's all up to Ribbono Shel Olam. Those are very different things. Mm-hmm. You know, and the real question then becomes, to what degree is the story a model for us? Right, the Abishtub providing, meaning, like, you know, yes, we have to, we're people of faith, and we act on faith, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, or we do our thing, but we believe that when I get my job and my salary comes, like, Yad Hashem is there too. And there's obviously a sliding spectrum in between those two, but this is the conundrum of faith in which we find ourselves. The Abraham will provide. Exactly what Hashem says. Now looking at Avraham's words, which side would you say he takes? The more practical or the more fantastical aspect?
Because he says, if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to do everything he possibly can to convince her. But in the end, it's going to be, it's not clear whether it's going to be up to Hashem or it's going to be up to the woman.
Okay.
About whether she's going to come. But he will have done the maximum. So I think this implies that he's going to do the maximum.
Okay. And the other side is?
He's saying, Yishlach melecho lefanecha. It's very clearly that it's going to be supernatural. And it's
right. I understand what you're saying, Aviva. I agree with the other side. I think that, look the way he says it. He says, Hashem... Right? Asher lakachani mi beit avi, v'asher di berli. I spoke to God. Me and God, we're tight. He will send his angel before you, and it'll happen.
I also believe Abraham, it's not me or you saying Hashem will provide, it's Abraham. Like, why would he otherwise send him to Eretz Meladetol, where there's Abu Dazra, and he knows that that's the place he lived? And
there's Abu Dazra everywhere.
Nachon, but he's got a whole company with him that he had an influence over them. Why would he send him? I really believe that there's an element of nevuah here, that it's not stam, that he would send, you know.
That there's something mystical.
Because if you look back a couple parts before where it says, Hashem gave Abraham everything. Mm-hmm. First he says Hashem has everything, and then he said, he brought me from the land of my father. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I have everything, and he took me out, and he provided all the time. Hashem provided,
okay. Faith. But you're saying it's Abraham. But what you're really saying is that's Abraham Avinu. Us, not so clear.
Yeah, well, if Hashem spoke to you, wouldn't you have a slightly different take on, yeah, you'd have a bit more clarity on things, I would say.
How do you know he didn't?
Well, speak to you.
Yeah.
Dream.
I'm kidding.
Right. Of your receipt.
Well, that's always the question. When we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Abraham Avinu, still, he's the model. He's the forefather. We don't just look to him as a source of merit. We look to them as models and examples in that sense. So I understand. I agree with you totally. If God came to me and said, do X, Y, Z, then I'd have much more connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. But he didn't come to him and tell him about this, we don't think. You know, he says, God didn't come to him and say, send Eliezer, he'll find you a wife, it'll be okay. This is like, you know, Abraham has to work it out on his own in a way. And Abraham has faith. Like, Hashem will provide. And he told you it'll be okay? No, but he'll provide. Because he said he would. Because I think he would. So that's what Eliezer does. Let's skip to Pasuk. Pasuk.
So what do you think Eliezer's responsibility is?
To find him a wife.
No, but I mean in terms of how much...
Well, let's see what Eliezer does. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Eliezer does. Okay, and then and the problem, of course, obviously, is Eliezer's actions are also somewhat vague. So it's hard for us to know exactly where he falls on the spectrum of this faith question. So he took 10 camels, and he went, and he took a bunch of money, right, a bunch of wealth. Vayakam vayelech al Aram Naharayim el Ir Nachor. And he went to Aram Naharayim, to the city of Nachor. Vayavrech agmalim ichutz la'ir al be'er hamayim. And he, translate here, vayavrech. He parked them.
He let them from their knees, he let them kneel down to drink.
Really?
He made the camels kneel down outside the city.
But they couldn't drink yet. How do I know they couldn't drink yet?
Because they drink later.
There's no water yet. Okay.
So they rested.
He kneeled them down. Very good. Okay.
Towards the well.
Vayavrech from Berech. Thank you. Okay, he kneeled them down. I know. Leit Erev, in the evening, Letzeit HaShoabot. At the time that the water drawers are going out. Vayomar. Just want to point out, see the trup on Vayomar? It's one of those interesting trups. It's called a Shalshelet. Vayomar. I would do it more, but it's like the up and down 3 times. Right? The problem is, we have no idea what the trup means. But just understand that this is one of 4 times that this trup appears in the Torah. So there's something unusual about this speech. It's not Vayomer, Vayomar, it's Vayomar. Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham. God, the God of my master Avraham, Hakreina Lefanai Hayom. The word hakrei is a very interesting and important word. What does it mean, hakrei? What is the root of the word hakrei? From happened before me today, from the word mikre. Okay, we usually associate the word mikre with, anybody know?
Circumstance.
Circumstance. With what? With what nationality? What people? With Amalek, right. Amalek is the nation of happenstance. Judaism is the opposite of mikre. So it's interesting that that Eliezer uses that word. Va'aseh chesed im Adoni Avraham. Lahokir. Lahokir. You could say that, but I think it would be drushi, not pshati. Okay? That's which is fine. Hine anochi, pasuk yugimel, nitzav al ein hamayim. Behold, I am standing over the well. Ubenot anshei ha'ir yotzot lishav mayim. And the water, the daughters are coming out to pour the water. V'haya hajnara asher omar eleha, hatina kadech ve'eshteh. So I'm going to go to one of them and say, can I have something to drink? And she says, drink and also give for your camels. That's the girl for Yitzchak. And that way I'll know that you did chesed with my master. So that, he says, I've got a plan. I'm going to go ask a girl for water. And the girl who says, no problem, here's water, and I'll also give water for your camels, that's the wife for Yitzchak. Which is it? Faith or practicality?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
Practical?
Both.
Both. Right. Isn't it great how clear, we have a clear indication of which way we're going to go? Okay, faith, because?
It's like he's, you know, the last line is what makes me think of faith, because then I will know that you did chesed with my master. Meaning, then I'll know that it came from you. He's using sort of a practical rubric, I guess you can call it, or litmus test, in order to determine if his faith is in good standing.
Yes, but if it was only faith, what he would say is, God, the girl who comes out and for no explainable reason does a triple somersault in front of me. That's the way I would know. On the other hand, practical. What? Why both?
Because he's trying to put himself in a position where he's at the well, where there are going to be a lot of women coming through. He hasn't like just stood in the middle of the midbar and said if a girl walks past now.
Right.
So that's my faith. And then also faith, because he's saying, but it's a practical thing. Like, if she gives me, that's, I'm going to go to each of these girls and ask them for water. Now, one of them is going to offer my camels water as well. It's a practical thing. It's
right. I mean, he's not asking. He's okay. It's a nice thing.
To show him in the way of the place.
Right. So, but it's a nice thing he's asking for. He is asking for something above and beyond. Mm-hmm. But it's not ridiculous. It's not, God, I'm going to knock on one of the doors in the seashore, and the woman who says, not only will I give you money, but he come in for dinner. And most of us wouldn't ask somebody in for dinner.
I think it was a bit ridiculous what he asked. You know how much it took to feed 10 camels?
Yes, it's a ton of water.
It's more than a ton
yes,
of water.
Yes, correct. Well said. Okay.
And to let one young girl offer to do that is a bit over.
Okay, so you think that is miraculous. That's fantastic.
It's still related to the issue, which is looking for someone with Mido. It's not the girl who comes out with a red striped sock and then a black cat comes after her. And like, it's not. There's no link between that and her being a particular kind of person.
Right.
So it is above and beyond, but it's not, but it's still relevant to what it's looking
for. Okay, very good. So it's like, on the one hand, it seems fantastic. I think I agree with you, Al. It's a tremendous amount of work. But like, if they, somebody, I'm sure somebody, I know somebody, I think
I'm
I read it.
They, I'm agreeing that it's true.
Yeah, I think they did calculations. How much water would it take to water 10 camels, like, who are thirsty? It's some obscene amount of water, some crazy amount of water, you know, like, and you have to draw it by hand.
Picture of her with
a
little jug.
No. Right. Here, would you like to drink something? No. Like, you know, and you're like.
We did it last year when we held the bat mitzvah program, and yeah. We did it all, and then she made the girls, carry, I don't know, she made us bring bottles of filled water. And the girls had to like, run up and down, like, do you remember?
25, yeah.
was an awful lot of amount. Just
with a faucet? With a faucet?
2 liters no, of water. With like, I think, two liters of water in their hands.
Yeah.
And just to give them the experience of how much it was.
That's amazing. That's so nice. What was that in the Bat Mitzvah program?
In the Bat Mitzvah program.
Wow. That's very nice. Okay. So, you're right. It's not just stum. It's not just a thing. But it is within the realm of chesed, of possibility, of appropriateness, of evaluating the woman. So, which was it? Was Eliezer asking appropriately? Or was he asking fantastically, ridiculous? And then that begs the other question. What?
Wasn't ridiculous. But it was extraordinary.
Right. Like, which one is it? Is it appropriate for Eliezer to say to God, you know, let's ask this question. You're sent, Avram Avinu sends you to find a wife for Yitzchak. So Avram says, Hashem will provide. So Eliezer goes, well, Hashem will provide then. You know, is this twiddling his thumbs or is this going with the saw you at Sinai?
But I have another question. He specifically says to go to his family's house.
Where?
Doesn't he initially say,
What does he say? Let's go back. Very good. Very good.
Because why doesn't he just go off to?
He said again, pasuk dalid, ki el artzi, el malati telech. Go to my land and to my birthplace. Velakachta isha libini. Please, very good. We'll get there in a second. Very good. That's one of the issues that we're going to discuss. That's, Ramban talks about it too.
And
Rashi, of course. We're going to get there. Okay, now. But she's using her amazing Ramban with the cheating charts. Okay. But we'll get there. It's very good because it's an important issue. Well, I guess I'll get to it now because it's unfair to everybody else. Tammy is pointing out in the chart that the art scroll provides for her. If we look later on, we see that when Eliezer retells the story, it seems a little bit different than the story we heard before. Skip for a minute to where he retells the story. Blum, 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 blum. Skip to Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Because remember, when Eliezer finally finds Rivka, she brings him into the house, and he has this whole long story. He tells the story again. And Chazal noticed that, you know, the Torah, the Torah doesn't mince words usually. You know, if you look at Hachot Shabbat, every little letter, every word has something specific and interesting. And here, we really read the same story twice. It's a very long parak reading. Like, do I really need, Eliezer came, then he said, I came, then after that, it said, I came. Like, do I really need to know the whole thing again? So listen to what he says. Lamed Zayin, Vayashbieni Adoni Lemor. So he says, he's telling the family, they're in the living room, you know, and he won't eat until he tells them the story. My master made me swear, saying, Lo tikach isha lifani b'minot ha-Kanan ni'asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo. Barzo, don't take a girl from Canaan, rather, im lo el beit avi telech, Ve'el mishpachti ve'lakachta isha libni. You shall go to my father's household and to my family and take a wife for my son. Whoa, 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 whoa. Which one is it? In Pasuk Dalid, it's that Abraham told Eliezer, go to my home country, go to South Africa and go find a wife for Yitzhak. So we're supposed to go to Johannesburg, stand in the middle of the mall, and make an announcement? On the other hand, when Eliezer retells the story...
Get murdered.
There'd be lots of willing takers.
On the other hand, when Eliezer tells the story, he says, Avraham told me, go to my family's household. One second. If he said, go to my family's household, what did Eliezer do?
Stood
in the middle of the mall and, randomly chose. And what do you know? Lo and behold, who did he get? There you got. He got the meaning. By the way, and it doesn't seem so random either. If Avram really said, "Go to my household and find a wife for my son," how many options do we have that we're thinking about?
Just the one household.
How many girls are in the household? Just the one. What do you know? And how do I know that this is true? If you look at the end of Parshat Vayera, the end of Parshat Vayera, right after the Akedah, in Perek Kaf Bet, Pasuk Chaf, we read, I'll wait till you flip, okay, Perek Kaf Bet, Pasuk Chaf, Vayhi Achar Hadavrim Ha'eleh, after all these things, Vayugal Abraham Lemor. Hine, behold, yalda milka gam hi banim lenachor achicha. You got family, you got mishpacha. Blah, 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 blah. This guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. Look at Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ubetuel yaladet Rivka. And you know what I heard? I heard he has a daughter. You know, all the males, all the sons, are thrown in there is this name, Rivka. Right? And then tragedy happens. Sarah dies. Avram buries Sarah. And the next thing we hear, he tells Eliezer, Im elmo ladati ve'el artzi tereh. Go to my homeland. Go to my birthland. Right? So what did Abraham say? Did Abraham give him a vague instruction? Or did Abraham say, go, there's a girl named Rivka who lives on Mulberry Street, you know, in this neighborhood, and I don't know what the neighborhood is, I've never been there.
Sandton.
Thank you, right? this such and such a place, and go ask, get that girl. So, then we're left with a few questions. Who thinks that that's what Abraham said? You don't think that's what he said? You think he left it vague?
No, I think he left it vague, and I think that Eliezer is fashioning this other story to make it seem as if he was sent Dafka to make it much more appealing to the family.
Ah, so you're saying Abraham left it vague, whatever girl you find sounds appropriate, and it just so happened that we know hindsight that Rivka was the girl.
And I trust your judgment.
Okay. And on the other hand, one could say, I thought it was the other way around. I personally believe that Abraham said, there's this girl Rivka, go get her, right? And he says, what if the girl doesn't want to come? Like, what if the girl doesn't want to come? You can't find a girl that's not going to come. Right? No, if she doesn't want to come, then you are free from my oath. That's the way I read it. I understand it. And I think the other reading is, if you think your reading is totally appropriate, totally correct. But if my interpretation is correct, Abraham said, no, get this girl. Then I have another problem, which is... What?
Well, if he said, get that girl, why would he go? Well, not just go to the house?
Exactly. Why does
he need Eliezer?
Because he's going to convince the other family.
Well, he needs Eliezer to send him to go get her. But why does Eliezer make up this crazy scheme? So you were nodding, right? Yes. You think that I'm right.
No, I think the scheme was Abraham said, go get this girl, but he wanted to see what kind of midot this girl has. Like, he wanted to see what kind of environment they live in. You know, he wants to see if Abraham was making the right choice. He obviously cares about his heart.
So he's testing on his own. Okay? The problem is, he's testing on his own to a girl. He doesn't even know if she's the right girl.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, I'll go, I'll spy out, I'll hire a private investigator. We'll see who this girl Rivka is. I'll watch her. We'll evaluate whether she's appropriate or not. That's one thing. But it's another thing to say, I will choose randomly and hope that that's the girl and hope that she's appropriate.
And he's also acting as a salesman. He's going in and saying, this is the contract I want. I now have to, you know, sell.
Do you think Aviva's correct? Do you think Aviva's correct? That he was just random and then he's...
I don't think it was random. I think it was...
It was a
combination. It was, right. Like,
you know,
just to, but just to expect the girl to just go, hi Eliezer, you're here for me, and her family say, okay, you can go.
I don't think why that's so crazy. Abraham has sent a delegation, chosen your daughter.
Because he sent him back to the land of his fathers. And we don't know, Daniel, we don't know that environment. We don't know that they're just going to connect to where Abraham has been and his experience.
We know exactly what they connect to. And they knew exactly. No, they knew exactly what they were connected to. It's all about the money.
Okay.
And you know how I know that Abraham knew that? He sent them with a lot of money. And you know why they sent her? Because Eliezer gave them a lot of money. And they said, this is a powerful family. Right, it's a good, what do you think? I mean, I'm sorry to say, but for most of human history, marriage was about that.
Who else is going to come out?
What?
Who else is going to come out of the neighborhood? Are there other girls wandering around?
Of course, there's a bunch of girls around. All the women are coming
in. She's the only one in that household who's going to be dressed probably in a higher level.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. All I'm saying is that these issues are very, very vague. On the one hand, is it like, is there a specific girl or it was a random girl? And if it was a specific girl, then why'd he randomize it?
But if
it was a random girl, then what?
It's not really so random if he's giving it such a task that really only Rivka is going to complete it.
How does he know Rivka is going to complete it? Is there anything about her?
Can I ask you something?
Well, I agree.
He doesn't, but maybe.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Was, but maybe something about what Abraham told him.
Okay, yes, Tammy.
I was going to say, if it's all about the money, you wouldn't want your son to marry somebody who's only interested in your money. Therefore,
you're like so 21st century.
It's not the woman.
Therefore, you needed to act a facet. You needed to test her to see if she had the midot.
Only Avraham Avinu would care about the midot. Only Avraham Avinu would care about the midot.
Only three.
What? You tell her.
Otherwise, we need a lot of emunah for this transaction to work.
Let's go on. Back to
have to work. There's no idea that it's not working.
Okay.
It's a business transaction.
Yeah, right. She doesn't have a choice. First of all, the idea that they asked her,
in my, potentially one of the imahot of the Jewish people, if she's not a nice person.
Well, that's the...
What do you know about Bilha?
Not much.
Right.
Right.
She was one of the imahot, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of person she was?
Yeah, she did.
She was a progenitor of the Shvatim.
She looked after Yosef.
Zilpa?
But Eliezer came from Abraham's house, and there was a certain atmosphere, and you could see that he didn't 100% listen to what Abraham told him according to that. He was checking me, Dot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He
had to check the merchandise.
So great.
And he came from a house that obviously left him disappointed. I mean, he's a disciple.
So the question is, when Eliezer says, God, ota hochachta, that's the one you prove that, is he asking for a nes? Is he asking for a nes, or is he asking for a sign? A sign of appropriateness. Look at Rashi on Yud Dalet, ota hochachta. Rashi back on Yud Dalet. We're back to Yud Dalet. We're flipping a lot, but it's okay, because it's a whole story. Rashi says, Yudalit otahu chachta. Everybody see Rashi? You with me, anybody? Ru'uya hi lo. Okay? That's how I know that she is appropriate for him. Shetehe gomelet chasadim. That she is a person who does acts of kindness. Ukidai likanes v'beito shel Avraham. And she is appropriate to enter into the household of Abraham. So he's not asking for a divine symbol. It's a test. It's an appropriate test. It's a suitability test. Is she suitable to enter into the household of Abraham? Now I'll read you another midrash. The midrash is on the same page. Okay, right. The midrash says, okay, Hinei Eliezer he'emid b'mivchan et kol b'not ha'ir. Eliezer wasn't evaluating one girl. He was randomized. He went literally to the mall, and he set up a stand, and he was going to ask somebody for a chesed. V'lo almad al kach shetehi bat chorin k'sheira. You don't know what you're going to get when you start looking randomly. And he said he did not evaluate whether she was a bat chorin, i.e. free. She could have been a slave. K'sheira, who knows whether she was appropriate or not. Kach shetehi ru'uya li Yitzchak. She was looking for midot. Could very well be he found a very nice, but inappropriate and unsuitable slave girl. And nowadays that might sound like, you know, not okay, but, you know, Yitzchak wasn't marrying a slave. Okay? So the Midrash says the following, Arba hen shetavu shelo kehogen. There were four people in Tanakh who made inappropriate requests. Shlosha nitan kehogen. Three of them got back, were appropriately rewarded, and one not. So what is one of them? Eliezer, Elev Avraham, Kalev, Shaul, and Yiftach. Eliezer, Kalev, Shaul, and Yiftach. Yonatan is not considered right. Yonatan has brought another midrash. Eliezer Sha'al Shalom Kehogan. Eliezer made an inappropriate request of God. Because he said, Benara, Sharam Tomarila, etc., etc. Ha'ilu Yatza Ama, Achat Vishkato. If some maidservant came out and gave him water. Okay? Hayam Messiah ben Adonau et Maha. You really think if some slave girl came out and gave him water for his camels, he would have married her to Yitzchak? No chance. So Eliezer made an inappropriate request. Asked God for some miraculous symbol. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu came through, not for Eliezer, but for Abraham. So it's so interesting that the Midrash says Eliezer had faith, but the Midrash criticizes him for his faith. It wasn't like Rashi says, that it was just a symbol of appropriate or not appropriate. Eliezer, literally, he went to the phone book, that one, asked her for a question, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that she was the girl that came out. But that's not to say that a person should do such a thing. We don't do such things. We don't randomize. We make the proper shtavis. He should have gone to the household and to the family and evaluated her as such. Very interesting criticism. Let's read on. Pasuk Tedva, Vayihu Terem Kilala Daber. Soon as he finishes talking, remember, he's standing at Talbot's in the mall, and he's watching the girls go by. Right? And he's looking for the one that's gonna, you know. Vihine Rivka Yotzeit. Wow. That's unbelievable. And when we say the term unbelievable, in the unbelievable, right? Asher Yudalib Duel Bet Mishbab Ben Milka, Ishat Nachor Achi Avraham, Mekada Al Shechma. She's got the, you know, cod on her. Drag on her shoulder. Okay? I mean, what?
A
cod. A cod. What do you know? It just so happens that as soon as he's done talking, the girl that Avraham.
With the jug.
It happens to be.
Unbelievable.
Okay? Vahanara Tovat Maremo. She's very beautiful. Betula. Ishlo Yida'a. Nobody knows. Ishlo Yida'a. I'll tell you what it means literally, and I'll tell you what Sforno means. Yeah. Literally, it means she was a virgin. Yeah. Okay, Yida'a, know her in the biblical sense.
Isn't
okay.
That repetitive? Betula and then the Ishlo
Yida'a? Yes. So the Gemara says not only was, if you want to know what the Gemara says not only was she a, what? Right. She was a virgin physically, but he said the women of the time who were engaged in inappropriate activity in the public schools. Right, they wanted to engage sexually, but they didn't want to lose their virginity. And there's another way to do that, but she didn't do that either. If you understand, I'll just leave it at that. If you want to know, you can look at Rashi. Okay? She went to the well, and she filled up her jug. He runs to her, and he says, a little bit of water. Please, a little water. I'm so thirsty. She says, drink. She gives him right away, here, drink something. She finishes giving him to drink. And I will water your camels until they're done drinking. She hurried. And she took her jug to the shoket. Emily, are you here? She took a jug to the
trough.
And she ran to the well, and she was drawn for a while. And if you know what to draw water means, down to the well, pull it up, pour. Down to the well, pull it up, pour. She was busy. It took a long time. And this man was mishta'e. It's a vague word. Rashi says it means he was waiting. Okay, mishtomeim umit bahel. He was in shock. Okay?
Astonished.
Thank you. Let's just read Rashi for a second on Mishtae, the second Rashi on Mishtae. Mishtae, mishtomeim, silent, umit bahel. Astonished. Al shura'ad varo karov lahatzliach. Right? He didn't know, he was so close, but. This is what Rashi says. Eino yodea im mishpachat Avraham hi im lav. But he didn't know if she was family or not.
It's like there was a triage.
What? What? What does that mean?
He found the girl.
He found the girl. So, 1 second.
According to
the sign. Yeah, that's the sign. That's exactly right. 1 second. Exactly right. He says to God, I need a sign. Tell me she's the right girl. And all she has to do is this. And then he's watching her do this. And he's waiting. But is she the right girl or not? 1 second. You just said. What?
I guess he gets cold
feet. Cold feet, right?
Like as you said before, he couldn't possibly let her marry Yitzchak if the sign was right, that she was from a not right family.
1 second.
She needs to comply with Abraham's requirements as well.
When is that? What is that? So what does that mean then? What does that mean then?
She has to be from Abraham's
family. She's from Abraham's family. But then if she's from Abraham's family, what are you doing? What are you? You really just literally went to the middle of the city, picked a girl randomly, and you're waiting now to see, is that random girl that you happen to pick, that happened to fulfill your conditions, is she happen to be the person, the one person, who you were instructed to go find in the first place? And, lo and behold, what do you know? She is?
What do you know,
what? He's mishta'e. That's what she says. Mishtomeim umit bahel. He is freaking out. Why is he freaking out? Because he made a condition with God, and the condition is being fulfilled Well, what if she's the wrong girl? Oh my God! What if I picked the wrong girl?
Caveat to the condition.
Yeah.
Fired.
That's why.
Fired.
That's why I don't think that Abraham said, go get Rivka.
One second. But he says, he's waiting in Mishpachat Abraham he im lav.
That's what Rashi thinks.
Rashi thinks that he did.
So,
but Rashi has to explain to me, yeah?
I've just seen it exactly the opposite. That, because there's that other, I'm sure there's a Midrash that says that he wanted Eliezer had his own daughter and he wanted her to marry Abraham's son. Is that right? That he wanted his daughter to marry
Eliezer. The Midrash says, correct.
Right. So I always thought the other way, that he actually didn't want to find a wife for
you. Right.
And this was like an off chance, like he didn't actually want to do it, and he was hoping that no one would come along that was appropriate.
Uh-huh.
So he made all these conditions to make it really hard for it to happen.
I mean, he was making it more difficult. He was.
Yeah, that's why he didn't go to the house.
Ah, he didn't go to the house.
Well, now it makes sense.
Well, maybe he wanted to tell Abraham, you know what, she's not right.
Like, it's so interesting.
I met her and she's just,
right, she's like, she wasn't right. It's so interesting because if Abraham really sent her to get Rivka, if what you say is true, then Eliezer was rebelling against his master's interests, putting his own ahead of Abraham's interests. It's very hard. It's strange. Doesn't that seem strange? Meaning what he's saying is, Abraham told me to go get Rivka, but I really want Yitzchak to marry my daughter. So I'm going to put Rivka through ridiculous hoops that are impossible to fulfill in order to ensure that I get what I want, not what my master wants.
No, but
it's very hard to imagine. It's very hard to understand.
He would be saying that to himself. He would be saying, oh, is she really need to be a Balak?
And you mean he'd rationalize
it? He would rationalize it and say, look, she needs a really good bala, chesed as good as my daughter. And look, she's just stunned.
She's not okay.
What about this whole thing about finding wives at wells and all this? Yeah. Everybody found, Yitzchak.
Correct.
And Moshe. And
Yaakov. Correct.
And there's this whole...
Like the happenings.
I don't know.
In the desert.
I don't know what the word is about. Just enough, well.
That's true, but the well, correct. The well, we don't think about it that way. The well was where everybody was. Because in the morning and the evening, everybody needed water. Think about it. Think about it in our terms.
The big podcast.
Right. The well is like Rami Levy on Thursday evening.
It's all fair in the water.
Right. Okay. Everybody's there because everybody needs to be there.
I also a way station for traveling.
Correct. It's right. The well is the public thoroughfare. So it's not so unusual.
It's a
place to see and be seen. Right. Right. It's like the beach side, like you say in Katamon on a Friday night. You got to be there because everybody's there.
West side,
West side. Okay, there you go. He's waiting. Ha'itziach Hashem Drakah. Oh, so he's waiting. Pasuk Chapet. Vayi kasher kalu aglim menalim nishtot. Vayi was when the camels were finally finished drinking. So then you would say, fine, he knows. Vayi kach ha'ish nezem zahav beka mishkalo u'shnei tzmidim al yadeha asara zahavam mishkalam. So what did he do?
Gives
her a bunch of jewelry. A lot of jewelry. Meaning what?
She's the one.
But then what does he do after he already says that he shows she's the one? Vayomer. Bat mi'at. Hagidan elali. By the way, after I give you all this jewelry, could you just tell me one more thing? What's your name? She says, Vatomreila bat betuel anochi ben micha sheyadal anachor. I am the daughter of Betuel. What?
She's giving him her whole history.
And he bows down to God. Baruch Hashem, Adoni Avraham, Chasto ve'amito me'im Adoni. I don't believe it. This is unbelievable. You're Rivka. Wow, that's incredible. One second. If he's waiting to find out if she's the right girl.
Do the jewelry thing first.
Why does he do the jewelry thing first? He gives her the money, but we find out who she is. The whole thing. I'm sorry to do this to you, but there's no clear answers to these questions. Right? You're not going to get a straight answer and say, well, it was A, B, C. Right? This is the muddle that is the lives that we lead. The faith that we have. On the one hand, we ask God, and we trust in God, but we do things, and then we have faith that it's the right thing, and it is. And
that's
you know.
What Rambam says.
Yes?
He took the two bracelets on her arms. Does not mean that he put them on her arms.
Very
he
good.
He took them for her arms.
Very good. Ramban says that what it should say, even I underline the Ramban, Tammy. Very good. Ramban says, where are you? What pasuk are you? What?
Rashi.
well done, Rashi.
No, that's not Rashi. That's Ramban.
I mean, Ramban.
Right.
Well done.
The Ramban says that. Well done, art scroll. Ramban says that linguistically, it doesn't really make sense because what it says he does is vayikach ha'ish nezem zahav mishkalo. One second.
Oh, it says it's lacking the D.
Ushnei tzmidim al yadeha. Think about language. But he took nezem zahabeka mishkalo. He took a huge nezem
nose ring.
Ouch. Can you imagine, by the way? I wonder how he put it on her also. Hold still for a minute. You're like, he took this like nezem, like here, put this on. It's like this huge. Okay. It's
Saka.
Yeah, right, exactly. Ushnei tzmidim al yadeha. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
What should say? Vayikach should say vayitain al yadeha. So therefore, Ramban says what it just means is, it says, after she said bat petuel anochi, then he gave it to her. Solves the problem because he didn't give her anything before. He says, and this is the way the mikra works. He says, this is the derech hamikra.
When he esoteret her.
Right. When he he only gave it to her. He didn't give it to her before. He gave it to her after. There's only one problem with Ramban. What's the problem?
It's
not what it says. It's on the pasuk. See, he says you have to reread it, and that's fine.
That's not what Rashi says.
Wow, let's look at Rashi. Very good. What does Rashi say? Very good.
He says after he had given.
Lachar shenatan mashala, he gave it first. Why? Lefishaya batuach bizchuto shel Avraham sheitzliach hakadosh baruch hu darko.
So maybe he was the ultimate.
He had emunah. He had faith. What?
He was the ultimate in faith.
He was ultimate in faith. He gave it to her before he even asked. What? It's what Rashi says it.
Right, but you can't say she was the ultimate in faith, and if he was the ultimate in faith, he wouldn't have put her through all those tests to begin with.
Right. Okay.
So he put in his secluse.
Is that true? Because it's a...
His secluse.
No, you could write what?
You need faith.
Also.
You need faith.
It wasn't faith. Only faith. It was both. He was like, okay, maybe the test. She passed the test. Now,
Right. So actually, I was going to quote you. There are two midrashim that parallel the Ramban and Rashi. One midrash says he gave it to her only. He wouldn't. Midrash says yachol nitan la kodem shiadamihu, meaning he gave it to her, the midrash says as kiddushin. Remember, giving, like, what is marriage? Marriage is when the husband or his agent gives the girl an item of value, right? Hare am mekudesh li betabat. So it's not a ring. I have a friend who wrote once it could be a French fry. It doesn't have to be anything of a value. How much value? A pruta. 10 agorot. Yeah. Sorry, right. Will you marry me with this cheap big pen? and the answer is, it's exactly the same. It doesn't have to be this beautiful ring. How much am I love you? Okay, lovely, nice, very nice. But it doesn't have to be. He gave it to her l'shem kiddushin. Somebody just says, do you think he would marry Yitzchak to this girl without knowing who she was? No way. Okay, so he says, Talmud Lomar, Vashal Otav Omar Bat Mi'at. If you look later on in your chart, right, when he's telling over the story, right, it says later on in the Pasuk, one second. Okay, he says in Pasuk Mem Zayin, I asked her, who are you? And she said, I'm the daughter of Betuel. Vasim hanezim alapa vatsmidim al yadeha. Only then did I give her the money.
I also think he knew who it was because he says, if he was so desperate to know who she was, he'd say, who are you?
Okay.
He would say, do you also have a place for me to sleep tonight?
Right. But according to the Midrash then, according to this interpretation that he first asked her and then he gave her the stuff, why does the Pasuk seem the other way around? On the other hand, according to Rashi, Rashi says he gave it to her, and then he believed. Why does he later switch it around? And I think the answer is because this is, it's not, there's no straight answer. There's no, yes, he followed logic 100%. And on the other hand, he also didn't follow his faith 100%. He tried to use some combination of the two. That he believes in God, and God's going to lead him on the right way. But on the other hand, he's just not going to choose randomly some girl. I believe he knew who Rivka was. He identified her. And she came out, and it wasn't just as happenstance, but he did want to test her. It wasn't just enough. He asked God for guidance. So there's the shiluv, the combination of making our shtamut, but on the other hand, the emunah that comes with it, that tells us that no matter how much shtamut I make, the hand of God has to be involved. It has to be Yad Hashem. That I'm not going to do it all by myself. So for Eliezer, I think he slid the sliding scale very close to God. But on it, for us, it's always a question of faith. You know what I'm saying? And one could argue, the closer you slide your slider to the God side, the more you will see God in the way your life, the events of your life. Whereas if you need to slide it more close to, I take care of myself, one could argue that you'll have to take care of yourself because you see God less in the events that are happening to you. It's a catch-22. The more you want to take that leap of faith, the more you're willing to, the more you'll see Hashem in your life. And I think that's why I'm finished. I think that's why the psukim, the way I understand it, are so vague. Was it a test? Was it not? Was it Yad Hashem? Was it not? The answer is, it's there if you want to see it. Yes.
But at the end of the day, Eliezer is criticized for the way in which he did it. So it's not necessarily...
You mean the
Midrash? He's not.
Some Midrashim criticize him, and other Midrashim laud him. You know what? You're looking that way, but I think that's exactly the point. Some Midrashim say, what right did he have to take that kind of chance? Other Midrashim say, he had such faith, he was a servant of Abraham Avinu. So what should we do? We have to have faith. To what degree? I wouldn't say count on a miracle. I don't think we should count on miracles. Abraham and helping is great, but God also got to work. You have to work in this world. So the way we lead our lives is to say, and I think, by the way, this is a very instructive, like, you know, I always like to tie into our lives. And all of us, you know, those of us who live here, and especially when you're going from, I would say, the United States. I mean, the United States, like, America is a very, like, well, what are you going to do? What are the answers? How is it? You have to all set up, right? You know, make sure it's all, I know, is it like that? I'm sure in England also. I don't know, like, you have to have it all the answers ahead of you. You have to, you know, because that's the culture. It's so culturally ingrained. It's not a very, ironically, faithful culture.
Yeah, it's Nechia V'Nireh.
Yeah. And here it's Nechia V'Nireh, right? There is a strong element of faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cammy was just telling us before we started, she's on the emergency preparedness committee because we all know that, like, lower land, there's going to be a war, so we have to be prepared for it. So an American looks at you and goes, you are nuts. What are you doing here? If you know there's going to be a war, why would you, like, continue to live in a war zone? But, like, you know, for us, right, we have faith. Now, having faith doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means that we have the drills in Tel Nof, and we have an emergency preparedness, and we have a ma'aman. But it doesn't mean we leave. It means we have faith in Hashem. And just being here is that leap of faith. It's to say we did what we have to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. And I was reading, just so interesting, there's always, like, you know, there was an Nefesh B'Nefesh article on Ynet about how they're doing job fairs. And if you look at the talkbacks, it's always interesting to read the talkbacks, because a lot of people use the newspaper, the talkbacks complain about how Israel is. Oh, they promise you a job, and you'll never find a job, and it's not so easy, and it's really hard. Somebody wrote a really lovely talkback and said, listen, it all depends on the attitude in which you go in. If your expectations are it's going to be provided for you, and, you know, then it's not going to happen that way. But Israelis are nice, and they do want to help you succeed. And if you have realistic expectations, I think most of us have this experience, then you have to struggle, and it's hard, and it's not easy. But if you're willing to be flexible, then you can make it work. And I was so impressed, and they left their email address, they contacted me, and I just emailed that person. I said, that's such a nice message you said. You know, is the Emunah, is it going to happen for you? Is Yad Hashem there? If you want to see it. But if you don't want to, then you could read Eliezer's thing in totally a logical way. But you're ignoring the obvious hand of God that's appropriate and present in our lives if we only open our eyes to see it. All right? We will stop here.